Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Amateur Sports Talk Radio. Hello? Hello, I can hear someone. There's someone on the line.
Coach, are you there?
Can you hear her?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you now.
Great.
Okay. We had some small technical difficulties there in the beginning. No problem. Well, let me just start over from the start since I'm not sure that anything that I said was actually even heard. So that's fine. This is Brian Borchers. Welcome to Amateur Athletes Talk Radio. We're back from our winter break. Made some changes to our format. We've got lots of exciting partnerships going on. Very exciting stuff. We also have a new radio host. Coach Allison is going to be here as the host of the radio show moving forward. And I know she's got a lot of exciting things to talk about and some exciting guests. I want to introduce her and let her take the reins from here. So, Coach, take it away.
Thank you so much, Brian, for that introduction. It is going to take some big shoes to fill, you know, to take after for you. But, you know, being an athlete and being a coach, I'm sure I can handle it.
I think you're going to be just fine. But, yes, I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. You know, you've done a great job so far. So today's subject, we are going to be talking about, are your kids coachable and why some student athletes are non-coachable. And, you know, this is a big subject because everyone wants to know, what is it, my kids? Is it the coach? What exactly is going on? And we actually have a special guest today, which is going to be Coach Tony. And I believe he's on the line now. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. This is Coach Tony Cole. He's on the line. He is the head coach and founder of Indiana Elite Prep Basketball Academy. So thank you so much, Tony, for coming on. And can you tell us a little bit about your organization?
Well, what we do is we bring in young men from all over the world, literally, and from high school as well as postgraduate kids who have the dream to be able to play college basketball. So we bring them in through our high school program. We play a national schedule. We develop those young men and give them the opportunity to get them exposure to college coaches. And the ultimate goal for every one of them is to gain a basketball scholarship or at least have the opportunity as a partial scholarship or even maybe academic student athlete, whatever the situation is. So very unique situation. We house these kids 10 months out of the year as well. We travel. Each team plays about a 40 to 50 game schedule. We play all over the country. We have also the academic component that we feature for our high school kids. So this year alone, we have kids that represent Morocco, Belgium, France, Thailand, Ukraine, New Zealand, Australia, literally all over the world. So, and this is year 15 that I've been doing this.
Oh, wow. That's a great thing that you're doing. And, you know, these kids are really benefiting from that. So if someone wanted to get in touch with your organization, how would they do that?
We have a website, and I probably spend 70% of my day on the phone between potential clients and parents and everything, but our website is www.elite-basket-ball.com. So, but you know, or or just the easiest way is to either call me or actually email me. It's CoachCole74@gmail.com. And, I spend most of the day, I call it my hand office, and working most of the day, just literally contacting us from all over the world and trying to figure out what kids are, qualify for us to be able to bring in and work with and the criteria and everything of that nature.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's a great organization. So today we're talking about kids that are coachable and why some are non-coachable. And I know with your experience of coaching and also being an athlete, you probably have some advice to give parents that are listening to our show as far as, what may make their kid be non-coachable. Do you have any advice about that?
Well, that's fun. I mean, when you have a situation that we have the home component as well by housing these young men. We have a very large team home, and so we prepare meals for them. We have food so it's a round the clock situation. And in my experience, we have a lot of international kids this year, and there's a different there's a disconnect a lot of times with kids. We find that kids that we bring in, particularly once we get them after a while and they're in an environment with these other young men who all pretty much have the same goals, you start to see a little bit more growth and development in their attitude. But a lot of it comes from, unfortunately, it comes from, I don't want to use the, it comes off maybe if it's, but it's not bad parenting. It comes, kids have such a mentality that they have already arrived. They've already, they deserve something that they haven't earned. And that comes from, even if you look and you go to a gym in some of the worst areas in the country and you're in that gym, and as a coach, I'm recruiting kids all the time. I'm evaluating for people. I'm writing reports and everything else. I see these kids come into the facility, and I'll give you an idea. I'll see a kid come in with a pair of $150 sneakers on. He's got a $500 cell phone, and he's wearing a $100 pair of jeans, but mom and dad can't afford to pay for this or that. So one of the biggest things that I see at the level that I'm doing this at is that parents don't really have a true understanding of where their son is in the talent pool. Somewhere along the line, they've gotten bad information. So it's not as much at home sometimes as it is, honestly, as we have guys who are older coaches or have been doing this a long time that need to be mentoring some of these AAU guys or some of these high school guys a little bit more as coaches, and keeping them under their wing too, and teaching how to evaluate, how to be honest.
I think with the ages that you're dealing with too, sometimes that comes in some attitude and that kind of thing. Because I know, even with me, I cheered from the time I was, 7 years old until recently, a few years ago, and also coached for over 20 years. And, I went through stuff when I was in middle school and high school where I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to hear what coaches had to say, but really they were, that middle school, high school syndrome that every kid gets every now and then.
Right. And I think what happens is there's a sense of entitlement that occurs. But I try to be honest with a parent right away. I'm almost harshly honest, and I want them to know, listen, don't send your son to me if the only avenue that you want me to provide for him is for him to become a Division I athlete to receive a Division I scholarship, because the odds are not in his favor. And I think that what's happening is there's a lot of miscommunication. Of course, I have a son. I've been doing this for 15 years. My son plays football. And so that, do I know football? Yes. Am I a football coach? No. Do I know that side of the business? It's totally different in the recruiting avenue and everything else than the basketball situation is. So, I have to defer to people that know. And one of the toughest things that happens is these kids from such an early age, the system in itself makes the kids almost uncoachable. When we have rankings for 10-year-old children, or when we have rankings for the best fifth grade kid in the country, or the best, you know, those type of things are what set a standard that's almost unrealistic. So my son, you know, a parent who doesn't know the business has a son who played fifth, sixth, and seventh grade with kids who were getting ranked. Or we played on this team in our AAU program. We were national champions and everything else. So there, people think there's a formula to this, and there's really, unfortunately, not. It's really unfortunate.
Right.
I've had kids who are extremely talented. Division I coaches beating down the door 1 year, and then the next year that kid, it totally changes. There's no formula to it, and so it hurts the kid because he's hearing one thing from the coaches, he's hearing one thing at home. There's a lot of miscommunication that creates that, and then
right,
of
and
course,
it adds stress on the athlete, exactly. But, you know, some characteristics, of course, of coachable athletes to me is an athlete that is grateful because someone cares enough to push them. And a lot of kids don't realize that these coaches, like you and I, you know, all we're trying to do is to get the best out of these kids that we can, you know. And then another thing, of course, right, and then being vulnerable enough to show that we're not perfect. You know, nobody's perfect, so, and we realize that.
You know, good players, great players want to be coached, you know, and that or and then if you go and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, unfortunately, but you know, I've been doing this a long time. I've sent a lot of kids to school. I've got kids playing pro ball. I've got kids, and what we find out, and what is a known fact, if you talk to these companies, these Fortune 500 companies, large companies or corporations, they love hiring kids, girls, boys that were student athletes at the collegiate level because of the discipline it entails, because of the structure that's involved
exactly.
in being a student athlete. And I believe the NCAA numbers are somewhere, of course, the military, depending on what you do in the military, those numbers are higher than the student athletes. But you know, if you go and look at corporate America and you go and look at some of these individuals' resumes, they played lacrosse or they played soccer or they played basketball,
right.
or they played football, and you might not have ever heard of them because they weren't those superstars at those major programs, but those disciplines and those structures that were learned from athletics throughout their career, whether it was all the way
exactly.
up
exactly. I mean, these are life lessons that these kids are getting
absolutely.
From being part of a team sport. I totally agree.
Absolutely. And
so, you know, in my opinion, I think, right, and I believe that it really doesn't come from the coach. It comes from the kid as far as being coachable or not. It is a mental
right.
state. And I know a lot of these athletes are faced with so many mental challenges anyway that it does add extra pressure. But, you know, for all those out there listening, I believe it comes off the coach. I don't know if you agree or not. If you have an opinion on this, call us at 516-531-9649 and give us your opinion. I'm here with Coach Tony Cole again, and we're talking about kids being coachable or not coachable and what are some of the characteristics of that. And, of course, non-coachable athletes, there's many characteristics with this. I know you've seen it, Coach Cole, which is rolling of the eyes, taking things personally, you know, kids that think they're better than other people, that kind of thing. And really they just need to realize that, look, it's for the best of the team if we work together and you take this constructive criticism.
Absolutely. And we've gotten away from and a lot of it is because of social media. A lot of it is the oversaturation of sports on television today as well because, you know, one thing I get – it's NCAA tournament time. This is my favorite time of year. And a lot of what these kids see on TV today – I have a lot of kids on a daily basis coming to the gym every year, and they want to turn on and watch Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and go into the gym and try to emulate them. But they don't realize there was 500,000 steps to get to be who you see on television. And so, a lot of it comes from times changing, discipline, culture being a little bit different, it being a little bit more laxed all the way around. And even if you look at the higher level programs, the tougher, you know, coaching has changed at every aspect. When I was coming up, I make no mistake about letting anybody, my idol as a coach was Bobby Knight. So I emulated a lot of those things, and I took in and I wanted to study and read and learn everything that he learned. But a lot of the coaches that I played for and as I was growing up were tough. They were strong. They may have said things to you but they wanted to develop you as a person and then as a student athlete and then an athlete last. So I think we're not seeing as much of that. Like you said, the kid doesn't realize it's about the team, and a lot of it happens at home. Parents don't understand the team concept as much anymore as they did 15, 20 years ago even. It's
right.
Changed. A lot of that's come because
of
the
saturation. Oh, and you're right. It has definitely changed. Not to interrupt you, but we actually have a question out there, came in on chat, and it says, when have you found it difficult to deal with an athlete? Can you tell us about that?
I think for me over the years, it's probably been most toughest time in game time. Well, in game time, you have those kids that, why did you pull me out of the game? For us on a daily basis, just to give you an idea, it's working. My kids come, and those kids that are in high school, they go to school from 9 to 12. So we're working 5 to 6 hours a day on their game in development. A lot of it comes from getting them to work, getting them to consistently work every day, 5-6 days a week, 5 to 6 hours a day on their game. So a lot of that comes with that. And then I would say the second most toughest situations that I have and what I do is game time. Like you said earlier, it's the body language. It's the when
right.
things go bad, trying to get a kid to understand this isn't about you. This isn't about you. And then for what we're doing, when we have those problems, it's magnified because we're videoing everything. We're using this video to present colleges. We have college coaches present. We have programs. So those are the
right.
toughest moments getting kids to understand everything that you're doing is it gets magnified. And I think it's probably game time situations for us is being able to get a kid to keep his mental focus and mental toughness and
right.
get out of that me mode, that self mode.
Exactly. And actually, a quote from Mark Miller from the Bleacher Report, he said, uncoachable players do not help themselves or their teams by taking such hard-headed approach to the game. So I thought that was a pretty great quote for some of these athletes to take to heart, because it's not about you, it's about the team. It's about what the coach thinks is the best thing so that you and your team can be successful. And we have another question that says, we have a question that just came in from Michelle, and it says, have you felt frustration when mentoring a less experienced player?
Oh, my goodness.
yes, of course.
and you know what? And for me, it's very tough because we have kids who come from different countries, and so the game is different, and the speed of the game is different. Everything is different. So what happens is, and then especially if I have a kid who's struggling with the English language, it's a very frustrating situation. But,
right.
I don't mind if the kid works hard and he's really, trying to get better. But it is very frustrating if you have, kids that are around him that are more, I don't even want to use the word talented, but more advanced. And I think that's where
exactly.
we kind of put ourselves. They may be more advanced, they've played more, or they've had more development time or better development in coaching. And the frustration comes for me, though, honestly, when I have a kid tells me that he really wants it, but he doesn't work for it. Don't tell me this is something that you want to do, but every time it's practice time, you're sore, you're hurt, you can't push yourself. Those are the frustrations that I deal with on a daily basis.
Right.
But I try to find myself in a position not to label kid as this kid's more talented than this kid, so this kid should be here, because I think that hard work, and I think that the kid that, you know, heart and everything else, I think you could close the gap a lot on talent. Talent, you know, obviously is a great thing to have, but I mean, there's a lot of guys out making, and in every sport, making very good money and getting free education at college because they work their tail off.
That is true. That is true. Well, so again, we're talking about coachable kids and non-coachable kids, and I think we have another caller on the line. Hello, who are we talking to? Is someone out there? I guess we lost them. Hello?
I'm here. We had
a caller come up, and I guess we lost him. But, again, we were talking about coachable kids versus non-coachable kids. I am here with Coach Tony Cole, who is the head coach and founder of Indiana Elite Prep Basketball Academy. This is a great organization. Make sure you check it out. And, Tony, what was that website and contact information again? Can you give that out to our listeners? Because we're about to wrap up in about 2.5 minutes.
Yep, my email is coachcole74@gmail.com. Our website is elitebasketball.com. We're located in Richmond, Indiana. So there's other organizations, but if you went to Elite Basketball and then Google Richmond, Indiana, it'd be a lot easier to find our website. But email is coachcole74@gmail.com.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And do you have anything else you would like to add or any other advice you can give our listeners as far as what to do if they have a kid that seems to be uncoachable and maybe these kids don't even realize that they're not coachable, you know, because a lot of times they don't realize that they're the problem. So do you have any final words of advice?
I think, yes, absolutely. I think what I would tell parents and what I tell parents every day and I have for 15 years is that don't be afraid to let somebody be tough with your child. You know, everything that happens and everything that has happened teaches you how to deal with everything that's going to happen. And so I would tell them don't be afraid to allow somebody to be tough with your child, and reinforce those authority figures and those people that are trying to help your child. You know, one thing that does not help is if kid comes home from practice or from individual workouts or whatever and comes home and says, I can't stand him, he gets on me about this, and then mom and dad are tearing that coach down. It lessens the authority figure, it lessens their ability to help your child and realize, listen, maybe that's not the fit. Instead of us, you know, tearing down that coach, or instead of us internally, you know, saying what we feel or our dislike and our child feeling like it's a comfortable situation for them, that all adds to it. So, hey, let's just move and go here. But don't be afraid to allow someone to be tough with your child, because all it's doing is helping him or her in the development process. It's making them tougher. It's making them mentally tougher.
That's great advice. And, again, not to cut you off, but we got 10 seconds left. And, you know, I'm with Coach Tony Cole talking about coachable kids and non-coachable kids. And you've been listening to Amateur Talk Radio. Thank you so much. And thank you, Coach Tony.
Thanks.